Welcome to Rise Up at Work. I'm Dr. Deepak Boothra, and today we are unlocking the work life you were meant to live. You're watching Now Media Television.
Welcome to Rise Up at Work. I'm your host, Dr. Deepak Boothra. This is the show where we get real about performance at work, what builds careers, what builds leaders, and what separates potential from progress. Today's episode is a special one. We're going to talk about sales as a life skill, the career advantage no one talks about, a different angle. Sales is not just about closing deals. It's about communication, confidence, resilience, and influence. Skills that shape every career path. My guest is someone very special. Raghu, or P. Raghuraman, or Raghu as we call him. He is a sales leader and educator behind Sales Art, and someone who spent decades helping professionals sharpen the skills that make them more effective, more credible, and more adaptable. Raghu, welcome to the show. Let's start with a very simple question. What do you do? What pain do you solve? And what should I bring to you that you can help me with?
Deepak, it's always a pleasure to interact with you. It's wonderful to see you. I am a sales trainer and a sales transformation consultant by profession. You know, after having spent more than two decades in various sales and marketing roles in many companies, from small to very large Fortune 500 companies. Last 13 years, I have been on my own, you know, training sales reps across industries, verticals, market segments, experience levels. And I also help many startups with my sales transformation consulting. And I've also published a book, DNA of a Champion Salesperson. You can check this out on Amazon later. I'm happy to interact with you.
Absolutely. And I assure you, excitement is all mine. The privilege is all mine. Raghu actually has got a statistic that blew my mind, listeners. Raghu has coached more than, I would say, it's a five-digit number, Raghu. It's what, 50,000 people you have coached in the course of your year that would like you touched in terms of training, coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. Me and my team, we have trained more than 70,000 sales persons. Thousands and thousands of salespersons.
Thousands. And that's exactly why you're here, Raghu. You bring to this forum, I would say, not decades of experience, because that multiplier effect has kicked in, right? So we're going to have lots of fun today. I really want the audience to listen very carefully. Raghu, let's start with very early career lessons, right? You moved into sales, and I think you have a very unique story about that, but it's not about the story. What surprised you the most about sales when you started your career journey in sales?
See, what surprised me most was it was not all about your IQ. It is more about your EQ, the way you're able to relate and connect to people. I still remember at the start of my sales career, I would learn everything about my product and then go and wax eloquent in front of the customer, you know, tell them everything about my company, my products, how great we are, etc., etc. But then every customer would say, great, nice listening to you. We will get back to you, you know. And then one customer told me, he laughed and said, all that is great, but you know something? You never asked me, am I going to buy? And we have already bought for this year. I'm not going to buy anything for the next 10 months. So see me after 10 months. We can discuss next year's procurement. So that's when it hit me. Wow. That selling is not about me. It is about the customer. So I should be actually asking questions and trying to understand about the customer, the current situation, needs, wants, problems, issues, so that I can connect and then give them the right proposal solution. So that actually kind of surprised me a lot, but it made me a better salesperson.
You know, what's really interesting is that, Raghu, we go through sales training programs, right? And what consistently surprises me, which is a very early learning that you're sharing, is the ability to actually understand you're there to solve a problem and you're there to resolve someone else's issues. Start with them, keep them in the center of your conversation, things should go better. And what is really interesting is 99% of the people know that, but 99% of them will not deploy this because they're not thinking the right way. And I think it's a great, great pivot. The question that comes to my mind is that if this is the case, and you and I agree that communicating with the customer, keeping the customer at the center is important, Why does communication determine long-term career growth even outside of sales? How would you answer that?
Simple. Imagine a service engineer talking to an irate customer. Mm-hmm. You know, customer is shouting, angry. How is this engineer going to handle that customer? Imagine a finance manager or a finance executive presenting the OPEX plan to the management on cost control, or a purchase manager trying to convince a vendor that he needs additional 10% discount. If you actually look at it, everything is about communicating. You know, when you're on a team and you have to deliver a project and you have to get 20 people to work together, I mean, you're not in sales, you're a project manager, but the whole collaboration is about communication. So if you actually analyze it, every single role, you know, communication is the backbone.
Raghu, you know what's really interesting is that communication is at the fore with sales. I think we've established that. But communication is also the fundamental foundation for every role, is something that I wish more people understood. If I look at my own coaching work that I do, Raghu, one of the things I've always realized is that when you talk to people about their performance reviews, I would say if half of the time is not being coached on how to get better at communication, then there's something wrong between you and your manager. If you do everything else right, but you fail on the communication part, I think you've done everything wrong. And I don't know how better to emphasize that. But that was a great point. And now, this also seems to be something that you captured very early in your career, right? Now, besides communication, what's the best formative advice you received very early on that my listeners should hear and think about very carefully? And how did that advice, which was that formative advice, shape you as an individual and as a salesperson?
See, I would share here three things, but quickly. First was about being punctual, you know, always being punctual, being 5 minutes ahead before every meeting. You know, this gives you a much better control of your sales interactions. Second, yes. I remember when I was moving from front end to a product management role and I was being interviewed by the CEO. So the CEO asked me, Raghu, do you know our working hours? So I told him, yes, sir, it's 9 to 5:30. He said, I didn't ask about the office hours. I asked you about the working hours. No, that's when it realized that as a product manager, I need to be available to my sales team and channel partners. And yes. Finally, when I was in this great company where I spent close to 10 years, Hewlett Packard, you know, the rules of the garage, there is one rule which really hit me very hard, which is like work quickly and keep your tools unlocked, work whenever, which means you yes. must be ready for any situations. So these are the three advices that actually have shaped me a lot throughout my career.
And when I listen to those three, I can tell you, Raghu, that's another book by itself, right? I mean, you have covered a lot of these items in your storytelling and your great way of communication, but I think it's extremely powerful. And I would actually encourage people to focus on these three levers. These three levers are going to guarantee you, I would argue, Raghu, maybe 90% of your gain is going to come just from these three levers. The rest is all noise. Thank you for that, sir. Really appreciate that. Now, Raghu, there's something you wrote once on LinkedIn, which I read, and that's one of the reasons why I was very intrigued in reaching out to you. You wrote that sales should be treated as a profession and not a personality trait. Would you elaborate a bit on that? Because I really think my listeners enjoy this take that you have on this.
At the end of the day, let's be very clear. We are living in an industry, in a world where most brands compete with another brand with almost same value propositions. There are hardly any differences, you know, be it the product features,
the commoditization of something has
service, everything. You take the latest AI today, you know, whatever ChatGPT has done, Anthropic is doing, or Perplexity is doing. So quickly people yes. catch up. So what is the only differentiator between the companies? The quality of their salespeople. You need salespeople to go out there and sell to your enterprise customers, create those channel partners, alliance partners. So, which means sales is what today defines every big company, whether it is Microsoft out there or Nvidia out there. Yeah. You know, you look at it, this is the sales team. I mean, you have worked in HP in the past, so you know the
Yes.
difference that
Yes.
sales team makes. You know, so I
Correct.
and today, unfortunately, most MBA degrees or bachelor degrees in management teach sales in a very small part, whereas most of these college grads come out and end up doing sales. So I really want to see sales as a specialized college program, you know, both at undergraduate and postgraduate level. You know, it is a full-fledged profession.
It is. And in fact, I like that approach of yours, because Raghu, if you think about professionals, right, we have this impression, a lot of people tell us, right, that, salespeople are born deeper because look at how good they are and how they communicate and stuff. And Raghu, I think you would agree with me. In your and my career, we can tell you about character and traits, yes, but to be able to say that someone's DNA is against them, I've seen short people, tall people, I've seen people of every race being successful in sales. And I think most of it is down to the 3 points you had made earlier. And I really enjoyed that. So personalities come and go. Personality traits go through fads. We're also living in an era of massive change and massive change, right? Competition comes out with something. Your other competition comes out with something X. The common denominator, which I really like that you shared, is at the end of the day, it's the salesperson that remains at the core. He is the person that pivots as this commoditization occurs in his product or his service and keeps that message very unique. Raghu, I really enjoyed that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to move on and think about segment two. Up next, we're going to talk about discipline, because long-term success isn't built on hero moments. It's built on consistency that people can trust. Stay with us.
We'll be right back with real stories, fresh insights, and action steps to help you rise up at work without losing yourself. You're watching Rise Up at Work on Now Media Television. Your ambition built your success. But somewhere along the way, your ambition took over and started running you. Hi, I'm Dr. Deepak Bhutra. I'm an executive coach, sales strategist, and host of Rise Up at Work. I've spent 3 decades inside corporate walls, a long time. I've been witness to how pressure rewrites purpose. And when you lose sight of purpose, how the right mindset can help you reset and write a greater story. Rise Up at Work premieres soon on Now Media Television. Remember, it's time to move from surviving to thriving. It's time to rise up at work. And we're back. I'm Dr. Deepak Bhutra, and you're watching Rise Up at Work on Now Media Television. Let's keep reclaiming your career and learning how to truly rise up at work.
Welcome back to Rise Up at Work with Dr. Deepak Bhutra. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock non-stop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. And by the way, if you're on the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back. Let's carry on with the conversation with Raghu. And now we're getting into the discipline side of sales, the part that separates talented from trusted. And we all want to earn the trust of our customers, because organizations don't scale on occasional heroics. They scale on predictability, accountability, and leaders who build trust through consistency. Raghu, welcome back. Raghu, why does predictability matter so much? I mean, we talk about forecast, accuracy, leadership, trust in sales, but why does predictability matter so much?
See, things don't work in isolation. You know, you have a factory which has to produce. You know, it can only produce so much in a day, in a shift.
Yes.
Similarly, you have so much of capacity constraints, whether it is your warehousing, trucking, your channel capacity, or what customer can take in. So a lot of things work on commitment and forecast versus the commitment. For example, I had a manager who was always very clear that whatever you commit, you have to be within the 95% to 105% of your commitment.
Yes.
If you're below 95%, that means you were not prepared enough and you did not escalate in time to ask for help. If you're more than 105%, you had no clue about what's happening with your own business, you know. So he was pretty ruthless in that way. See, what commitment and trust forecasting especially does is, for example, I'll just give you one example to make this point. Say you
Yes.
have a product which takes 4 weeks to ship and you're negotiating with the client for a very large deal. Now, the client is only going to place the order by end of the quarter, but you need that revenue
Yeah.
for the quarter. Now, you're able to forecast, get the material ready, keep it in the warehouse ready, get the order and turn it around in 3 days. So you've committed, you've forecasted to your internal teams. You have also taken commitment from the customer, channel partner, and you have made sure everything is
Yes.
aligned and it
Yes.
happens as per your commitment. And when you do this, now everybody starts trusting you. You're a man of your word. You say what you do and you do what you say.
And Raghu, this word about trust, right? And a lot of people tell me, Deepak, trust. It's so difficult to get trust. Trust, yes, because you earn it. No one gives it to you. You have to earn trust. And that mindset that you're talking about, you know, like you said earlier, Raghu, get there 5 minutes early. Do what you said you would do and just do it. These are all important things, right? This is also character defining. People love working with someone that's reliable, predictable, right? Now, we spoke about this and there's something as you were talking about all the activities that one should do to make sure that forecast happens. More than most of the conversation you had was not about selling anymore. It was also about internalization. It was about structuring the teams internally and making sure everyone is singing off from that same piece of paper. Very powerful. But here's the question that I really came to my mind. If that is true, then why do organizations reward consistency over big deal velocity, volatility, right? I know I don't want volatility and that's a great benchmark. You did that. Why do organizations reward consistency then? Because that sounds contra to what sales stands for, right? Our job is to get more in the funnel and just pump it out and get more deals, right? So why reward consistency?
Because consistency is what keeps things aligned, keeps all the variables aligned, whether it is your OPEX, your CAPEX, your forecast, your materials, your market shares. See, a big deal is an outlier. It has to be treated as such.
Yes.
You cannot form your P&L and forecast basis that one big deal. Then there is something
Yes.
fundamentally
Yes.
wrong with your business model. You know, most of the times, if you see, markets are either flat or growing at a standard growth rate. So you need consistency. Only at few moments or few years in the entire life cycle of the technology or the product or the industry, you have this crazy growth period, a tornado phase, like how it was for smartphones, say 15 years back, when suddenly in 2 to 3
Yes.
years, the adoption went crazy. So those are the times when consistency takes a backseat and you want to cater to everything possible. But 90% of the times, you need consistency. That's what makes
yeah.
business predictable. Your whole
P&L
will be aligned.
Very powerful. And I think there's a message here, right? If your P&L is fluctuating and you can't get the basic discipline right, you're sending the completely wrong messages to everyone watching your results also,
Absolutely.
Right? And I respect that. What was really interesting in what you're saying is that if your forecast is dependent upon large deals, which you call outliers, right? And if you're counting on a lot of outliers, then it's not an outlier. It should be the norm. And you and I know that it's
yeah.
never going to become the norm. In fact, Raghu, one of the
Absolutely.
Earliest stories I actually had was that I had a salesperson that qualified for Platinum Club in Hawaii, of all places. And he was a pre-sales engineer, Raghu. And you know that these are the individuals that are typically not in the forefront of getting those type of opportunities. He called to tell me that he has to skip because his wife is not sure she wants to travel to Hawaii. It's too long travel. And he says, she said to wait for the next big deal. And my response to him was, no, you cannot predict big deals. They come and they go as they please. The deal that you got rewarded for and selected for is a once in a lifetime deal for any salesperson. Please go for the trip. He went for the trip and his wife and him sent me a note afterwards to tell me they're grateful for their advice because they had such a great time. And I think this is the reality. You're in that euphoric moment, but consistency is what matters. And if you're starting to predict consistency and outliers, you have a problem right there. I love this conversation. It's about the consistency over heroics. And we've been arguing about that for a long time. And I agree with you on that one. I have a question for you. In sales, every sales leader talks about leading indicators, right? So let's focus on that a bit. Raghu, leading indicators versus reactive selling. What should professionals watch daily or weekly? What would your guidance be?
See, reactive selling is a no-brainer. We all react to situations and do whatever best possible. Yeah. But smart people work proactively. Proactively means looking at the leading indicators. For example, when you're reviewing your funnel, you know, a simple question, why are we taking more time to send our proposals, you know, or things like the number of demos I have given last week, last month, why has it gone down? So that is a leading indicator to tell you that your funnel is actually becoming smaller, you know, or instead of just looking at funnel from an operational perspective, I look at it strategically and say, hey, why am I not able to see all my premium models in the funnel? That's a leading indicator to tell you that your ASP is going to drop.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. Similarly, your market research agencies, which give the forecasts, you know, those are leading indicators. Similarly, external events in the market, like, for example, your Forex fluctuation or let's take today's situation when you have this Iran and Middle East and this situation. There is a very clear indicator out there that if your funnel is dependent on leisure, transportation, tourism, and hospitality industry, you're going to struggle. You need a plan B now to achieve your numbers.
Yeah. Yes.
So and
plan B is not going to this.
Makes you
and plan.
Absolutely. Leading indicator makes you a hunter and not the hunted.
That's powerful. In fact, I seek your permission to put that on a t-shirt. I see a lot of sales coming.
Yeah.
Raghu, there's something very profound in what you actually said there, right? The hunter mindset, right? A lot of people hear that word and they react to it. And my response to people is it's not a physical manifestation of you standing with a whip or a gun in your hand, right? That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is about mindset. And I think this is very important. Raghu, when we talk about growth, right? And in sales, if I want growth, one of the biggest things that I've realized is that the most mature salespeople are the ones that ask for help very early and very quickly. What have you noticed, and why do people wait too long to get the help they need?
See, I see two, three issues. One, the behavior of the team lead or the sales manager. When you have a manager who says, I don't want to listen to anything, I just want results, then you don't go and ask for help. That's number one.
Yes.
And second situation is when you have this whole thought process in your mind that, hey, if I ask for help and if I do get help, then the credit will get shared. I will not get the full credit for achieving this. You know, so that not thinking, that small thinking also comes into a lot of people's mind. So if you see, they don't think as an organization and a team. So this is why people don't ask for help. But if you actually ask for help, you'll realize that there are multiple people willing to help you. And as you rightly asked, there is a multiplier effect. You know, people will actually appreciate you. Short term, someone may say, hey, this guy always asks for help. But long term, people appreciate that thanks to him today, we are able to hit those numbers, hit those growth numbers, especially.
You know, Raghu, as you were speaking, what really hit me, what I've always thought about is that if you look at AI today as an example, right, the same mindset where you express a lack of not knowing and asking those questions to get those information is actually the best way to do prompting in AI also, right? You penetrate, you ask, you reposition your question, you look at it from different angles, you become a devil's advocate. And I would say that if someone is prompting, then there you are. That's your lesson right there. You can also use the very same thought process in asking those questions by lifting your hands up and saying, I don't know, please help me. Yes, there is this human stigma involved in sales, right? We're supposed to be Superman, superhuman, right? And no one wants to admit how much they use AI or how much they use other people's reliance to deliver a number because they want to create that illusion, right? And I respect that. This is a great conversation. Coming up, we're going to talk about resilience, fear, rejection, mental strength, and why sales can build executive presence faster than most careers. And why it is going to deliver to you better dividends if you understand that very early, the compounding effect.
We'll be right back with real stories, fresh insights, and action steps to help you rise up at work without losing yourself. You're watching Rise Up at Work on Now Media Television. Your ambition built your success, but somewhere along the way, your ambition took over and started running you. Hi, I'm Dr. Deepak Bhutra, I'm an executive coach, sales strategist, and host of Rise Up at Work. I've spent 3 decades inside corporate walls, a long time. I've been witness to how pressure rewrites purpose. And when you lose sight of purpose, how the right mindset can help you reset and write a greater story. Rise Up at Work premieres soon on Now Media Television. Remember, it's time to move from surviving to thriving. It's time to rise up at work. And we're back. I'm Dr. Deepak Bhutra, and you're watching Rise Up at Work on Now Media Television. Let's keep reclaiming your career and learning how to truly rise up at work.
Welcome back. If sales is a life skill, resilience is the muscle it builds. Because selling puts you face to face with uncertainty, rejection, and pressure repeatedly. It's the salesperson's curse. Raghu, a lot of capable people leave sales early. In fact, one statistic that blew my mind was 35% of salespeople in enterprise sales exit enterprise sales by the age of 35. That statistic initially I thought was very wrong. I went and actually dug into it. It's actually higher percentage. 35 at 35 just sounds more cooler to say it, right? But the number is actually higher. Keeping that focus, my suspicion is that a lot of these people are very capable, but they leave sales early, not because they're not smart, but because they don't know how to process that emotional load. I really want to talk to you about this a bit because I think there's so much you can offer because you've seen salespeople not just from a technique point of view, but from a mental load resilience point of view. Sir, simple question for you. Why do many professionals leave sales early? What's the real reason? What's going on?
I think the first is the whole number pressure. Having to day in and day out make a commitment and making sure what you committed happens. So this puts a lot of stress on people, especially because most of the times you actually commit when you, though you know you don't have the kind of funnel to deliver on your commitments, and then you wing it. You figure out as you move on during the month,
yes,
to somehow manage it. So that's one. That's number one. Second is people also get very frustrated about being on the road a lot, you know, getting out, yeah, meeting customers, the harsh sun, different weather, all kinds of food that you have to eat outside. And, you know, I've seen, yeah, people even citing health reasons, they just move away from sales. Let me go to an office, yeah, where I can sit, you know, throughout the day, you know. And the third thing also is they get very uncomfortable having to constantly persuade and convince people. It becomes very, very tiring for them that they have to keep on convincing people because otherwise the rejection kind of hits them. You know, you have to constantly persuade people and people reject you. And this kind of psychs a lot of people out. You know, according to me, these are the reasons I've seen people move out of sales.
Very true. Very true. In fact, in case you've noticed, Raghu, I would agree with you. If I think about the top 4 reasons why people leave sales, I don't see managers in that list as much as I see things like you, what you mentioned. And a lot of people listening in might be actually wondering about this food angle, this road angle that you raised. But you're right. Yeah. If I look at my own personal circumstance at age 33 and then at age 35, when I finally left sales to go into sales operations, I left sales because I actually was exhausted all the time, juggling these denials, these rejections, and so on and so on, right? And a lot of people are very surprised when I admit that. But the reality is that I found a graceful exit and I still did what I loved, which is supporting sales. Raghu, we spoke about rejection and we said the fact that you get a no, you expect a no. What's the healthiest way to interpret a no that you would tell someone listening to us right now who's in sales?
See, I always tell sales team, especially people who I can see that they're under pressure because their numbers are not happening, that,
yeah,
customer rejection is not a no, it is simply not yet. So you have to trust the process and keep at it, you know. And one of the most important things salespeople need to do is start taking feedbacks. Many of the time they do not take feedback from customers and partners on why the deal did not go through, why that opportunity did not materialize. I personally have benefited a lot when I've asked customers. The same customer who has rejected me for one full year has given me a lot of business in the next couple of years. You know,
fair.
It's about, yeah, asking the customer, hey, what's wrong? Can I fix it? Can I fix it? And then they see the effort from you. And the last thing we've already discussed, so I won't spend too much time on it, which is asking for help. You know,
Yes.
so if you don't ask
Very.
for help, you're always going to struggle.
It's very interesting because we expect that, you know, the answer that you are going to give is about, oh, it's all in your brain. You can internalize no. And I think what we're saying is that no, you need to accept the fact that you will win some, you lose more. That's fine. And being stuck on the losing part of it and then ruminating about it, I think is where most disasters occur, which is one of the things that I used to do quite a lot, is take that no very personal. And I really like your approach that you look, you got to accept the fact that there's going to be ups and downs. You need to internalize that and move from that basis. Raghu, another thing, you know, when I think about my time in sales, one of the things I used to struggle with a little bit was about the fact that sitting at that table, I always had the mindset that the person across from the table buying from me is more important, which is true in one sense, right? But when we talk about equal stature mindset in commercial conversations, what does that look like in practice from a good rock star salesperson's point of view?
See, there are multiple angles to this, Deepak. First is the pressure and the desperation gets to you. So people move from, they initially start by pitching very assertively, smartly, but then they move to a stage where they try to please the customer. Then they start pleading with the customer, you know, and you can also do a graph and you will see the pleading starts increasing as the month end and quarter end and year end starts coming, you know.
Yes,
so
yes, indeed.
They are no longer talking to the customer like this, they are talking like this. This is also to do with, in my view, trainings. You know, there is a lot of training about brand value, culture that needs to be built in sales organizations where they are taught that, hey, we are equal to the customer. There is an honest exchange happening of goods and services with money. So it is not like one side is like this or the other side is like this. You're both equal. And
yes.
The second thing also is there is a lot of training and hands-on experience that managers need to do with salespeople, especially when they make CXO calls. Many times salespeople are very comfortable meeting the gatekeepers, the low-end, you know, the procurement manager or the IT manager.
Yeah, the procurement.
And they actually meet the decision maker. They don't know what to talk. So they always are a little, they look at it like the decision maker is doing a favor to me.
Which was the genesis of my question. So I really like that response. And I think it's more about, but there's something you said that I wanted to just check with you in that, you know, when you are dealing at a certain level and you get used to dealing at that level, you adopt a certain style. But we suddenly realize that that same style will fail you when you migrate upwards and you're now talking at a different level. And I think that's a very powerful message in what you said there. If I were to give advice to people listening, the advice I would give is look at the amount of time you're spending with at what level and where, and know for a fact that when that ratio starts changing, you will struggle because you've got your entire thought process and your training now geared towards a certain level of conversation. Always try to visualize and be one step ahead. And I think that's a very powerful message in there because I never thought about it from a ratio point of view, right? At the end of the day, if I'm always dealing with, let's say, level zeros, but when I end up with a level one, I am bound to do something which because will be wrong or misplaced because I've been trained on level zeros. Very powerful. Thank you for that, sir. So I'm going to switch gears here, right? How does a salesperson then shift from anxiety to action, right? I'm always fearful of a loss. I'm always fearful of this equal stature, but I also want to have proactive control. How would you guide us on that?
See, I can only tell you from my experience how I kind of conquered that. First and foremost, start the day early. So what happens when you start the day early is that you're able to do all your back-end work, you know, sending emails, doing your proposals, whatever, you know, before the business hour starts. Like you were mentioning at the beginning of this interaction before the recording started about how you like to start the day early and keep the productive hours for your customers. That's exactly what is required. Then you realize that you are much more in control and you are not running against time. Second is do not procrastinate. If whatever you have committed, try and make sure you complete it that day and then go home. So you will be able to relax with your family better. You'll be able to sleep better. You'll be able to enjoy better. Very, very important. And
yep.
one last thing is, you know, when you find time, dedicate a little time every week or every month for data analysis. So when you analyze data, you're able to be, you get insights, especially on leading indicators, which allow you to take actions proactively and get you in control.
Fair. There's just so much you said that my brain is still trying to catch up with it, right? We have elements of fear. We got the proactive control. Now, here's what I really want to layer into this then. There seems to be a lot of steps that one could take, start early and so on. What other daily habits do you think can build confidence?
See, just one habit, if they can focus, is going to make a huge difference to them, which is every day, keep a summary of today's events. Type them down. I mean, I know we have now, people do not write any longer,
exactly.
But we are very comfortable with typing. We are comfortable with typing. So my request to all salespeople is end of the day, spend 10, 15 minutes and type what happened that day. What were the key interactions, both internally and externally? What are the key takeaways? What are the things you think you just make a note and mark it, you know, add, you can keep a running Word document or have one document per day. Whatever, I leave it to the same
whatever,
person.
Whichever, yeah.
But the moment you do this, you get clarity. You will understand, hey, I should have done this better. You
Raghu,
know, these small improvements on a daily basis are what is going to define you.
And when we talk about small and daily investments, we talk about compounding, right? If you can improve what you do and save time by 2 minutes a day, in 30 days, you would have saved an hour from your life. And I think that's very powerful, that compounding impact. Raghu, great conversation. Final segment is coming up now. We're going to talk about expansion, how sales becomes a launchpad for leadership, adaptability, and even entrepreneurship. Stay with us.
We'll be right back with real stories, fresh insights, and action steps to help you rise up at work without losing yourself. You're watching Rise Up at Work on Now Media Television. Your ambition built your success, but somewhere along the way, your ambition took over and started running you. Hi, I'm Dr. Deepak Bhutra. I'm an executive coach, sales strategist, and host of Rise Up at Work. I've spent 3 decades inside corporate walls, a long time. I've been witness to how pressure rewrites purpose, and when you lose sight of purpose, how the right mindset can help you reset and write a greater story. Rise Up at Work premieres soon on Now Media Television. Remember, it's time to move from surviving to thriving. It's time to rise up at work. And we're back. I'm Dr. Deepak Bhutra, and you're watching Rise Up at Work on Now Media Television. Let's keep reclaiming your career and learning how to truly rise up at work.
Welcome back to Rise Up at Work with Dr. Deepak Bhutra. This is our final segment of Rise Up at Work. We've talked about foundation, discipline, and resilience. Now let's zoom out to a bigger payoff, sales as a long-term career advantage. Look, markets change, things happen, industries dip, roles evolve, but capability, real sales capability, it travels through careers, through decades. I want to talk with Raghu about how to position sales as a durable foundation for leadership and entrepreneurship. These are what I call transferable skills, where you learn, you develop. Adaptability during downturns is something that sales offers to you. And this is the universal truth that influence is everywhere, and you need to know how to influence and persuade. Raghu, we spoke about events that are outside of our control. We spoke about economic things happening, wars and so on, right? In industry downturns and capability durability are interesting topics. We respect that. How does sales protect career momentum then? How would you respond to that?
See, sales is universal. Every company is selling, whether directly, online, through channel partners, to SMBs, enterprise, doesn't matter. Whether it is an FMCG or a SaaS product company or a hardware company or a services company. I know so many, for example, I know good friends who are specialist public sector government sales guys who have moved from IT hardware into telecom, from telecom into software, and from software into now AI products, because they know how to sell to government. So companies always need people like that. Similarly, channel managers. So I have seen channel
Yeah.
managers who have moved from technology to stationery and pens, you know, because they had, in technology, they had a very advanced and very structured channel policies and channel management techniques. They wanted somebody who can implement that in an unorganized market like this.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So sales is a very perennial profession. All the salesperson needs to do is constantly keep understanding what they are doing, stick to the process, and bring context to what they are doing. You see, it's the same sales job. It's just that you're going to be selling a different product to a different customer. So
different
the sales
customer,
cycle will
right.
be different. So you just need to adapt.
I like this focus here because I think this tells people that selling is not the discipline or the profession. It's the various traits, values, something that you're doing. And if you do it the right way, then those, what I call transmutable skills, is what allow you to take your selling capabilities from widget to widget, gadget to gadget. I love that. Now, if I were to talk to some of the people on listening in, there may be some entrepreneurs out there. How do you think sales prepares people for entrepreneurship, Raghu, going beyond revenue, or just is it just always about revenue?
See, sales is a great springboard platform to entrepreneurship. I can vouch for myself because,
correct.
See, what sales does is, one, it gets you out of comfort zone. So if you become an entrepreneur, you know that you need your first few customers to trust in you and
yeah.
buy what you're selling. And with your sales yeah. background, you're not dependent on anyone. You just get out there and create your first few customers. As a founder, you're very passionate, you're able to sell. Second, sales gives you a structure. You know, with sales, you know, we always plan in sales. You know, I have a target, now I need to plan. So my plan is simple, four steps. Where am I today? Where do I need to reach tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to do that journey? And what all do I need to, for that journey, what all do I need? Now, I can apply this for entrepreneurship. You know, and
yeah.
I'm able to just get on quickly. You know, I have seen salespeople who have become entrepreneurs actually scale faster. You know, they're able to, obviously you need other complementary skills later once you start scaling, but
yep.
sales can make this. And the third is more importantly, sales prepares you for rejection. So you,
yes.
as an entrepreneur, you're going to face a lot of rejection. So
that
you
is
can
so true.
Actually
so true.
Handle that better.
This is really powerful stuff because, you know, if you are preparing yourself for resilience, and the entrepreneur's journey is a resilient one. I mean, to be honest with you, someone was asking me once, Deepak, what are the top three reasons why entrepreneurs fail? And I said, number one is cash flow. You're going to run out of money at some time if you've not done this thinking through. And the best way to salvage that is also by selling. You have an idea,
okay.
you have a product, you have a service. Sometimes if you don't sell it, you think that your product is so good because you're in love with your own product, right? So therefore, you think that it's going to work out. It doesn't work out. Things have to change. Something unique has to happen. Raghu,
even collection.
Learning and development.
Yeah, 1 second. I'm losing you, Mr. Deepak, for a few seconds. And you pixelated. Can we repeat that question again? But let's wait to your connection
yes,
come back.
We'll do,
because you
we'll
are very
that.
Pixelated.
I'll repeat the question again.
Yeah, you are very, very pixelated.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, since we nearly finished that last question, should I start with the new one or just go back to the old one?
I think start to the old one. So we can...
Yeah, go back to the old one.
Old one? Okay. Raghu, we're going to do that one again, okay?
Boy, still...
We'll go
yeah,
back
no
to the
problem.
Old one, okay? Okay.
Yeah.
I think
still looks
pixelated.
Now,
so.
We
yeah,
was 5 minutes.
So
there,
so.
We was 5 minutes when that one happened.
Yeah, let's...
And still I'm like, losing you, like you are very pixelated.
We were... Yeah, so I'll just give it. Okay, looks okay now, right?
Kind of better, yeah. Okay. Okay, perfect. Start when you...
Okay, so I'm going to start again. You do the countdown, I'll start.
We start in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Raghu, quick question for you then. How does sales prepare someone for entrepreneurship beyond revenue?
See, sales is a superb platform for entrepreneurship. Because as an entrepreneur, the first thing you need is your first few customers who believe in you. And who better than you, a founder who's also a salesperson, to get out there, convince and sell. That's number one. Second is your ability to plan. As salespeople, we are always trained to plan. You know, this is my target.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to achieve the target. And these are the resources I need to achieve the target. So you bring that planning approach also into your entrepreneurship. And the third thing is your ability to handle rejections. You know, you are able to, as an entrepreneur, you'll get rejected more than while you are a salesperson. Now, being an entrepreneur is probably one of the toughest things in the world. And sales prepares you for it. And another interesting thing is, sales teaches you some real life things which are required. For example, collecting money from customer on time so that your cash flow is not affected.
Very important. You can sell a
great product at a great gross margin, but if you don't collect, your business is in trouble. You're going to run out of cash. So that's, and finally, sales teaches you how to be persuasive. So when you're hiring a person for your team, at a lower wage in the market, you are able to persuade them why they should believe in your future journey and join you. While you can't pay them what they want, but they believe in your journey. So you have to sell to them the job.
Absolutely. Now, Raghu, the entrepreneurship journey is not an easy one. We agree, both of us, right?
Correct.
There are also another angle I wanted to do. So many people listening in are not entrepreneurs. When we are selling and when we are focused on sales and sales skills, what skill sets do salespeople or sales managers bring to leadership roles? And how do those show up most when someone moves into management? What happens at a management level with a sales background?
See, one of the first things that a positive aspect of a salesperson becoming a manager or getting into senior management is their ability to interact with people. You know, somebody from a sales background who is now, say, a CXO, does not mind speaking to the absolute frontline employee, spending time with them on the field or at the shop floor or at the service center, and taking first-hand feedback. You know, they're willing to get their hands dirty. You know, and the second thing is their ability to, I've already talked about this, you know, their ability to persuade, you know, they're not shy, they don't take this approach of, hey, I'm a senior manager, so you better listen to me.
Therefore,
they actually try and persuade and get everybody everybody on board, you know, very, very importantly. So, see, there are many, many skills that sales brings to. See, one last thing is, when you see a salesperson scaling the ladder to a senior management position, they keep themselves grounded by learning about all the new products, technologies of their companies, just like the front-end salesperson. And they communicate it with the same passion.
That is a very important point. Very important point, Raghu. I really like that because this is also very powerful. The way I want to interpret your statement is, and I want listeners to focus on this one, is that if your intention is to become a sales leader, a people manager, or potentially get into leadership roles or management roles, then I think, Raghu, there's something you said which is very powerful. Focus on those skills or those abilities that you use as a salesperson and now magnify that. If you know your products and you're on the roadmap and you understand it, just understand that you now need to take that conversation from a features to a very, how do you say, strategic perspective, right?
Absolutely.
And that's just a mind shift. But I think that's very powerful in what you said there. Building a great foundation for leadership comes from executing very smartly on sales and learning those techniques and using those techniques and those skill sets to then accelerate your management career. Great connectivity there. Raghu, there's something that I wanted to check with you. You know, we know that salespeople need to remain hungry. They need to be honest. They need to ask for help. There's also a lot of leadership and, you know, learning and development that happens. You yourself are a leader on the training space. The question I want to ask is that one of the things that's happening is with AI, right? AI is everywhere. AI is pervasive. What's your take on AI and its role in sales? And can I say, and would you challenge me if I were to say that AI will not take your job, Mr. Salesperson, but your colleague using AI will take your job. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I would partially agree. See, mm-hmm. While on paper, it will look like AI will do a lot of things and communicate to customers. There are self-help chatbots and customer can directly query, place order. But in reality, there are still going to be many, many segments where customers need the help of a salesperson to be a consultant, to be an advisor, to tell them what to buy and when to buy, how to buy, etc. Because we still live in a very, very competitive world, you know. But for salesperson, AI today is actually a blessing. You know, whether it is customer research or whether it is automating communication to customer, marketing communications to keep the whole deal and the whole prospect warm. You know, suppose there is a 3 months time it takes for the whole sales cycle. Non-stop communications can go. Then today, one of the biggest benefits of AI I'm seeing for salesperson is at the touch of a button, a salesperson is able to get analytics and get those leading indicators and the past data. Before, a salesperson would struggle to do analytics. Today, thanks to AI, the whole analytics part has become magic today for a salesperson.
Absolutely.
So I would look at it as a blessing to the salesperson.
It is. I would agree with you. Raghu, how do viewers connect with you? We will have your phone number that we will do. I believe your email address
absolutely
is
Raghuraman. My LinkedIn is the best way to connect to me.
Yeah.
Yes, Raghuraman at salesart.com. And LinkedIn is the best way to connect to me. Plus my email, which I just told you. Or you can come to my website, www.salezart.com. And the links are also provided there. And
Raghu,
please do buy my book, DNA of a Champion Salesperson.
Raghu, thank you for reframing sales as what it really is, a life skill. It truly is. It's a leadership builder and a career advantage most people underestimate. I'm Dr. Deepak Bhutra, and this is Rise Up at Work. See you next time.